We like to go to garage and estate sales and look for treasures. We also like to gather collectors and resellers alike and provide them with valuable information about products, many of them vintage, and share tips about how to get started and make some extra side money doing what we do. Thanks for joining us today.
Sales have been quite steady. Thankfully, you know, we have quite a few good vintage items that's been kind of keeping us moving and consistently. So we're going to share some items that we have sold last week. And also we're going to talk about hype items. You know, if you guys don't know what hype is, it's just basically companies are always trying to create a buzz. They're trying to create a crazy exaggeration of a product that's coming out. So we're going to talk about the psychology of that. Hello, Marina.
Hi. Duncan is, he knows me too well. I'm not in the kitchen eating, but I was as I was powering up my computer. Look at these. These are Japanese tacos. So happy Taco Tuesday, everybody. So I'll be eating those after the live. Thanks, Michelle, for grabbing them. Not to interrupt, please continue, Michelle.
Yeah, Tootsie Avila. Hello, Sandra. So she said, I sold a quilt for $280 and a couple of other things for a little over $320. On what platform?
Congratulations. That is huge. Let us know which platform you sold that on, Tootsie Avila,
who is that our friend. That is a great flip, $280. And Brittany said Poshmark and eBay were neck to neck. Okay, it's good to know.
Yep, that is good to know. Thank you guys for sharing, though. It's really important. I feel like, you know, if we share our sales each week and throughout the quarter, we can kind of keep up with each other on what's trending and what's doing well. And we could even, you know, give each other a little bit of advice.
Yes.
Yeah, we do need a, we did a live on that actually. We did a live on blankets once and included sheets. But yeah, so those are like, you know, places that a lot of people don't look for items. So that's a good place for, you know, to source is the places that a lot of people are not looking. So should we get started, Michelle? How's it going?
Yes. Hi, Rich. How's it going? How's your YouTube going? All right. Oops. I guess I jumped ahead. Sorry, guys. Can you guys see my screen?
Yeah, I love the screen. It's awesome. So there's a little Pokemon trainer like thing on there. So that's kind of like representing. Have you guys heard the hype? So we're going to talk about some hype items a little bit later. Let's go ahead and share our last week's sale. So we basically, on the title, you're going to see that we sold on Mercari, Etsy, and Poshmark last week.
All right. So last week, our profit was $918.31, and our gross was $1,383. So it's kind of crazy because last week's profit was $917, if I remember correctly. So yeah, so it's been a little steady these past few weeks. So how did we do on each platform? On eBay, we did $133 profit, Poshmark $150, Etsy $600, and Mercari was the loser last week, $33. And we have to explain to you why Poshmark and eBay went up. So we're going to talk about this particular item that we sold that kind of made those sales spike.
So yeah, that was a little bit of a online arbitrage. So Michelle, are you okay with that now? The online arbitrage game is sometimes you got to wait a little bit for it to bring your results. And I mean, some people do all online arbitrage. We basically do like 95% thrifted and 5% online arbitrage, but like it helps a little bit here to, you know, the bottom line, as you could tell, it's about, you know, 5% of our sales. All right, Michelle, would you like to go ahead and move forward?
Yeah, some of our favorite sold items. So we actually have this binder of baseball cards. So this has been sitting in our storage for like 2 years now. And so Marina and I don't know anything about baseball. And we went to garage sale and we saw two binders of baseball cards from like the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And Marina negotiated it for $30 for the whole binder. There's about 800 cards in there. We had no clue what was in it. And we sold this binder for $1. So what do you think, Marina?
Yeah, I mean, back when we sourced this, it was almost 3 years ago. And you know, baseball cards weren't that big, but here we go again. We're in the 2021 year 2021 where Pokemon cards and baseball cards are huge, basketball cards, right? So we actually still have some more cards in our garage. We don't know if these are valuable or not. So maybe someone scored big. Hopefully they did. So yeah, but if you don't have the time or don't want to go through a bunch of baseball cards, or you pick like the best ones, you could still sell them in binders like this. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. And again, in the description, you can't really like name all the cards. So you kind of have to be general. So I bet there's something valuable in there. Come on, there are 800 cards.
I bet there is. Mm-hmm. And Keely Bannister said, I bet Marina's a great negotiator. What do you think, Michelle?
Yes, she is.
But I mean, it depends. Yeah.
Sometimes it's a teamwork.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I feel like, oh, I just want to be generous. So just <really depends. laughs> So this next item here, and Michelle, I trust you did the art introduction that I usually do when I was eating my taco, right? All right. So this is an Elite porcelain doll. That's the brand name. Our cost was very low. It's 15, and it sold for $248. And so that was a good flip there. Go on, Michelle, to the next one.
Oh, this next one is a Cabbage Patch doll set. This is a special edition. It's a Christmas edition of Cabbage Patch. I believe his name is Nigel and her name is Hillary. And we sourced this for $25 and sold this for $150.
I do have something to say about that. So these guys, we had them before Christmas, and we actually had an offer on Mercari of a Cabbage Patch collector. I knew that because I went into her profile to look it up when she sent us an offer for $80. So, you know, we weren't in a hurry to sell these, and they sold the other day for $150. The buyer was very happy. She left us a 5-star rating and said the item was in excellent condition. So sometimes it's worth waiting if you're not in a big hurry, right? So this isn't like what we would call your bread and butter items. Bread and butter items are items that move regularly and quickly to kind of give you the bottom line. So this kind of item, you know, you'll want it to sit there for a while and wait for that right buyer to give you your asking price.
Yeah, I also heard that the bald cabbage patch are super popular, but we've never gotten one.
Which kind? Sorry?
The bald kind with no hair?
No hair? Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, right. So really quickly, I know we're already started into this, but if you're a little bit lost and it's your first time here, Michelle and I, we started buying things at thrift stores, garage sales, actually is where we really started 2 years ago. We're in our third year now, and we did it to try to see if we can make a little side money to supplement our income because we had moved into a new home. And you know, when you move into a new home, like a brand new home, there are a lot of like costs, extra costs that you aren't really anticipated completely. So we had to like build a backyard in 3 months. Our quote for our backyard was like between $14,000 and $17,000. And we're like, you know what, let's give this a try. Needless to say, we're still here 3 years later. So it is working for us. And we just, you know, appreciate you following, being a part of our journey. And like, I feel like we're a part of, often a lot of us, we're part of each other's journeys together, right? And this is really like our life, you know, you guys are part of our life, and we appreciate that so much. It's where we get our biggest joy from. So we do like to share on our podcast, which is on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts. And then we like to do a live here and get everyone's participation that are our friends in the reselling community or anybody who's, you know, wanting to learn. So these are like a few features of our sales this week. And Michelle, what's the next one?
I'll let you talk about the next one.
Okay. Well, I will, but Keely is asking a really good question. She said, why don't you sell on Facebook? I've seen a YouTuber called Harry Tornado doing well on that platform. Facebook Marketplace is a lot more sophisticated in the US than the UK. That is a good question. Michelle, can you answer the question?
So, Keely, the main reason is time. You know, I have a full-time job, and so this is our side hustle, and we mainly utilize Vendu, which is a cross-listing platform, and Facebook is not available on there yet. And once it's available, I think it'll make my life easier to list on Facebook. I do list on Facebook from time to time if it's like a big item or something that, you know, depends on my mood, but the main reason is really time. I wish somebody could help us list on Facebook.
But you know that's not going to happen. Or maybe, maybe. They have to go in your Facebook account, right, to do that? Thank you, Terry, from Evolving Wallets Productions. Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, we appreciate you. We appreciate all of you that are here right now. And the entire community is awesome. But, you know, we've made some very close, tight-knit friends. And we hang out with you guys every week. Those who can make it, we do appreciate it. And again, it's a really happy part of our lives. So thank you so, so much. Keely said she actually found us via the podcast.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. And then thank you again, Evolving Always Productions has such an amazing flip for that puzzle. So let's talk about this puzzle for a minute, right? This puzzle is what is called OA or online arbitrage, where you purchase something online, you know, but it's usually like a new, right? So, and this is connected to our theme today, where we're going to be talking about a hype items later. This is a hype item. This is technically and legitimately a hype item. So there's like a famous YouTuber. I think he's a TikToker. He's a young man. His name is David Dobrik. Very, very successful. So he came up. This is to market his brand. Let's be honest, right? With a puzzle called the $100,000 puzzle. And so there were only 100,151 puzzles made, and they sold for a very reasonable $30. Now, the puzzle itself is nothing exciting. It's a picture of a QR code. And it's two colors. It's black and neon green. But the exciting part is that you could potentially win $100,000 if you get the right QR code. And that's not the only prize. So in this case, every puzzle is a winner. So you will win money no matter what. However, the lowest price is 25 cents, right? But we actually had a very interesting, not to get too much off topic, but it is connected. So we sold some of these over the weekend. We put a couple of them for 99 cents on eBay, which was the lowest anybody had them available for. So when we were looking at the comps, so comps are when you look at sold item prices, which we always do, and we recommend that you do as well before you know, buy or sell anything online. But we're looking at the comps on eBay. And when I noticed that the cheapest puzzle being sold was for $69, and it was a pre-owned puzzle. That means they opened it and probably already put it together and they've already cashed their, you know, winnings. I was like, what is going on here? So I was like, Michelle, can we do some auctions? So we put up a couple auctions at 99 cents. We really have never done this. We didn't know how they were going to do. We could have potentially lost money on it. So, you know, and then we put a couple of them for $138. Guess what? All of them sold. So we sold our two auctions. The auctions actually, we came out even. So we didn't make any money on the auction items, but on this one we did. So yeah, so there you go. That's my story. Thanks for listening.
Terry has a question. Do you have to actually put the puzzle together for the QR code? The answer is yes. So
unfortunately, you do.
This is kind of like buying a lottery ticket, except you have to spend hours and hours to put the puzzle together.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, it's so much easier to buy a lottery ticket, but it's not as fun or as challenging, right? You're really kind of working for your money here. But, you know, one last thing about this puzzle, we had somebody message us on eBay, because this is where we sold it, and he was looking for to buy 10 of them. Now, the funny thing is I only bought 10 of them back in December when they went for sale. And I didn't know what I was going to do with them. Maybe I was going to sell some, but I was actually thinking of like giving them away to my family members as gifts during the holidays, but that just never happened. So I ended up having 10 available, right? So we opened one. We're still working on putting it together. It's officially the most difficult puzzle we've ever attempted. But this person messages said, hey, I want to buy some in bulk. And then I said, awesome, there's a bunch of them online for eBay. I'm sure you'll score. Well, he didn't like my answer because, again, we had those 99-cent auctions, right? And I said, we only have 5 left. And then I said, you know, there's a lot available on eBay. He didn't like my answer, I guess. And then he came back and started getting really angry at me and then like everyone that sells hype items. So it was so interesting, but we had a long conversation, me and this eBay stranger, and then we ended up being friends. But basically, yeah, and so that's what kind of initiated this topic today. We ended up being friends, and then he confessed that he was buying these puzzles, and he put one together, and he won $5,000. So I could see why he was hooked and wanted to buy more. So, like, let's say you win $5,000, and you spend $1,000 buying 10 more. You could potentially win more. I mean, you know, you're not losing anything. It's a game.
Well, Marina, what if our puzzle is like $10,000, and are we going to regret selling all of these then?
No, because that's like a choice, a conscious choice that you make, right? So we sold 4, and if one of them wins $100,000, you know, how exciting. I'd be very happy for them.
Yeah, I think it would be awesome if one of our buyers won $100,000.
It would. But so Keely's saying, were you tempted to keep the puzzles for yourself and hoped you won $100,000? But see, that's the thing, Keely, is like, you have a deadline. So you have to solve the puzzle by March 31st, 2021. And we're not even halfway done. And we've been working on it for almost how many days? 4 days? Since Saturday. We're not even halfway done with the puzzle. So even though we have, I think, 5 more, there's no way we're going to be able to build them. So we're going to have to be, you know, generous and give others the opportunity to win $100,000.
And guys, once we finish the puzzle, we're going to reveal in one of our lives that how much we won. I mean, we're going to win anyway. So yeah, we're going to reveal the answer.
All right. So let's go on to the next one, Michelle.
Yeah, this last one. I put this as one of my favorite items because I sourced this and clean this pair of really dirty shoes. I made them as clean as possible and they were sold for $65. We sourced this for $25. So that's that. Okay. Are you ready to talk about hype items?
Yes, I am.
Okay, before we do that, I want to ask our viewers, what would you do with $100,000 if you won $100,000?
That's a really good question. If you were gifted or if you won $100,000 today, you know, what would you do with it? Let us know in the comments. We are very curious to find out. So we're going to talk about the psychology behind hype items. What is the psychology behind these items?
Okay, so what is a hype?
Hey you, thanks for listening to our podcast. If you like what you hear, please take a second to rate our podcast. Our podcast is fairly new and we're in need of comments. If you can think of anyone an episode may be helpful for, please share the episode with them. Now, back to our regularly scheduled program. And again, a million thanks for stopping by.
Here is a dictionary definition, basically extravagant or intensive publicity or promotion. I think it's very accurate. When it's used as a verb, it's to promote or publicize intensively, often exaggerating its importance or benefit. So what are some hype items? I have one here. First one, PS5. Marina was actually part of she was on the hype train and she actually purchased a PS5, but we were not reselling it. She actually gifted it to me. So
can I just say that I didn't know that PS5 was a hype? I had no idea.
Okay.
I got very lucky. So yeah, I was one of the first buyers of this item when it first came out. When the first pre-order came out, I'm a night owl. So I was awake at night. And I follow a lot of accounts on Instagram that they sell, you know, they promote like items, couponers or like, you know, deals or whatever. I follow a lot of those just because, you know, I'm curious and I like a good deal. So I was awake one night. I was about to go to bed. It was past midnight and I got a notification and I looked at it I happened to look at it and it was like pre-order PS5. And this was back in October of 2020. And I was like, early October too, by the way, I think, or yeah, around that time. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy this for Christmas for Michelle, because it was a pre-order. So it wasn't going to be shipped until November. And then Michelle's birthday was actually in October. So I, you know, I was like, oh man, I can't get it for her birthday. I wanted to, but, long story short, you know, we got the item shipped to us in November. We're one of the first people that had it. Then I come to find out that it's really hard to get this system. And I had no idea. We're here in March 2nd of 2021. And it's still hard to get this system to this day.
Yeah. Every time I told people we got a piece, and they're like, how did you get it? So it was interesting. All right. So we're going to talk about some other items. So the next one is Pokemon cards. So there are times when companies are not initiating the hype. There are times when celebrities are initiating the hype. So in this case, Logan Paul, I don't know him, but he is a rapper, and he entered the Pokemon space and created a hype. So that kind of created a buzz, and a lot of people started buying Pokemon cards, and the prices went up. So that's another hype. Do you want to go through some comments, Marina?
I've been putting them. Well, first of all, you asked a question. What would you do with $100,000? So those of you who are just listening to the podcast, I want you to also think about it. What would you do if you got $100,000 today? And Keely says that I would give it to my mom. I know it's cliche to say that, but she could make good use of it. That's really sweet. Rich says $100,000. I would donate some to the dog rescue organization, help a poor family get back on their feet, and make a few dreams of others come true. That's extremely generous of you, Rich. Thanks for sharing. And then Duncan said, aha, I know Michelle's birthday is in October. She will get Asian takeout treat from me. That's so nice, Duncan.
Thank Duncan so also much. Said he'll Appreciate spend that. $100,000 on tacos and pizza.
That's a lot of tacos and pizza. That is awesome. What would you do with $100,000, Michelle?
I would split, donate, you know, help others, a portion of it. Another portion is for retirement. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think invest. Definitely. So Tootsie said, so are the rest auctioned? No, the rest, we have them, on various, sites. Yeah. So we don't, we didn't do the auctions. We just, you know, we have them on various sites because they are at the end of the day limited. So we're going to, you might win $100,000. Oh yeah. By the way, nobody has won $100,000 yet. So our puzzles are valuable. Michelle did the research and she informed me of that recently.
Yeah. Okay. Marina, you want to talk about this one?
Yeah. So this next one is a Oreo cookie. Have you heard of the Supreme brand? So Supreme and Oreo did a collaboration, and they came up with an Oreo cookie. So a few episodes ago, we did do an episode on food items. So it's so funny, but like food items, they can, well, this is definitely like a hype item. Food items are usually limited edition, meaning like there's a select few that they make and they will never make them again. And think of the Wheaties boxes back in the day. Those are pretty hype, right? You wanted to collect a Wheaties box. We sold a Wheaties box, didn't we, Michelle, recently? A no. baseball one? Oh, we still have it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was autographed.
So, yeah, so it's autographed, right? So yeah, so this is just like an example, but if you guys want a Bolo, check out on eBay, check out Red Bull. So Red Bull has a lot of limited edition flavors, and I think you could check out Mountain Dew, and you could also check out, gosh, there's one more energy drink. What is it called? Monster? I think it's Monster. It's one of those drinks, but those they make in limited edition. People pay a lot of money for the different flavors that are in limited edition.
Yeah. So the Supreme Oreo is interesting because so they were actually selling them for $3 a pack. When they put it on the Supreme website, it was immediately sold out. So that was a hype. And some resellers actually were selling them at $17,000 online.
Yeah, but did they really sell for that amount? I don't feel like it. I mean, who knows?
I'm not sure. We could look it up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is a high-end brand. I wouldn't be surprised if people didn't eat them. They just bought them as a collection.
I agree. Right? Yeah.
The cookie's really cool, though. It's pink. Pink and white. It's awesome.
All right. So okay. The next one is Travis Scott. So Travis Scott is, I don't even know why he's super duper famous. I mean, I'm just so out of it. I'm getting old.
Isn't he a rapper though?
Yes. He is the husband of Kylie Jenner.
So there's like two big reasons why he's super famous.
Maybe they're not married yet. Actually, I don't know. I'm confused.
Somebody, I don't think they are.
They're not married, right?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, so he collabed with McDonald's, and apparently the last collab celebrity who collabed with McDonald's was Michael Jordan. So this was a big deal. Again, he, you know, big hype. He was selling merch, McDonald's merch, and they were sold actually on eBay. This is a giant chicken nugget body pillow, was sold for $550. And one of his Travis Scott Cactus Jack, that's the name of his brand, shirt sold for $450 on eBay.
Crazy. Yeah, well, but so this is, yeah. So there is another hype thing going on right now, collaboration with McDonald's and Pokemon. Have you guys heard of it? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's happening right now. And those cards, you can get them, like if you get one of those like shiny cards, we don't know much about these cards, but you can sell them immediately online. People are, Pokemon collectors are trying to buy these and add them to their collection.
Wow. All right. And this last one, Marina, you want to go through it?
Yeah, I mean, this is just like it looks like a Nike, I forgot what they call these ones. I don't know. I forgot. Air Force One. Yeah, Air Jordan. Air Force One Dior. I mean, it's beautiful shoe. It's a beautiful sneaker. A Dior and Nike and Air Jordan and Jordan collab, right? So this one retailed at $2,000, and then the peak resale for this one was $10,000. But fine, this is our last one. Let's leave it there. I do want to talk about reselling, and I do want to talk about hype items and reselling, right? Because let's be honest, when we are talking about a hype item, it's another name for a marketing tool from these companies, right? Look at the company. Like, I love that this shoe is our last kind of picture that we have, because you have Dior, right? And then you have Air Force One, and you have Jordan, Michael Jordan, right? And then you have Nike, right? So you have those three different names, and they make them in limited quantities on purpose. So fine, it retails at $2,000. So my question is, do you think like people who want this shoe are going to be mad? Man, I didn't get one at $2,000 and I have to pay 10 grand for the shoe. I feel like the people who buy these shoes are going to be rich or something. Like, they're going to have a lot of money to dish out to even $2,000 for the sneakers. What do you think, Rochelle?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So in other words, like, I think, you know, these hype items are a marketing tool. The Pokemon cards that they made, they don't have a lot of those. And same with like the puzzles, they only have a limited quantity. And if you think about it, there's 350 million people in the US, right? And they only made 100,000. So obviously they're going to run out like quickly, you know, and then, you know, obviously people are going to try to get more money for them because there's a demand, right? So this is basically like socioeconomics. It's a thing of supply and demand. And when you have a little bit of something, when you have a large demand, it's only natural in the free market that the price is going to rise, right? Because the demand is so small. So let's look at some, like, if you think about it outside of marketing, outside of business, like in a natural setting. So if you think about, like, for example, the pandemic. So the pandemic hit, and we have a limited, you know, quantities of toilet paper out of the blue, right? And then we didn't have, what do you call it? Like disinfectant wipes and Purell or whatever. And those quantities were, people were out buying. So all of a sudden, like the demand is high and the amount is low, right? So my question to you, right? Here's a question. Is it, do you think, what's the word, Michelle? Ethical. Is it ethical for us, like resellers, to purchase these items and mark up the prices? Because you got to think about how like eBay and Amazon had to step in and not allow a hyping up of price on like respirators, masks, you know, Purell and things like that. But those are like necessary items, right? So, you know, what's the, is that ethical? But what about like non-necessary items like the PlayStation or these toys? Like those are not necessary items. So do you think like that's okay? So I was just wondering, like, these are just like, you know, ideas to think about and consider. You know, I personally think if it's not a necessity, then, and it's your item, you bought it, you could sell it at whatever price you want.
Yeah.
If it's too expensive, no one's going to buy it anyway. Like, you know, and my major was in economics. So I'm like super into this kind of stuff, right? Socioeconomics, behavior. I love this stuff. And I think it's, if it's too expensive, no one will buy it. You're going to get stuck with it, right? But if you have it at the right price, it's going to sell. And so honestly, as a business person, as a retailer, we should be aware of the different prices and the item's value, right? We shouldn't be selling something at 99 cents if it's worth 50. We wouldn't be good business people if we did that. So we do have, let's see here, a couple of comments. Michelle, do you want to hit those up?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Keely has a question. So she's asking about the cross-listing tool. Do you need to list in different ways, highlight different things, use different style pictures on different platforms to get the best out of them? So Keely, if you are interested, I think we are connected on Instagram. There is a link in our bio. You could try out Vendu. It's very easy. All you need to do is upload the photos, select the description. Basically, it's already pre-filled kind of thing. And all you need to do is once you filled out one form, you just export to the other platform. So they currently are listing on eBay, Mercari, Poshmark, Tradesea, Kitizen. So six so
Depop
far.
Depop and Grailed. Grailed as well.
Eight platforms, yes.
Yeah, so basically, Keely, check out our link in our bio if you want, but you can start with 5 free ones every month if you want to just try it out. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask us. We do have an example in our old YouTube videos where you can check how to actually do it. Michelle shows everyone how to do it, I believe. Right, Michelle? Yep. Okay. So, but just to answer your question, Michelle, Tootsie Avila Sandra said they're not a couple anymore, Travis and Kylie, and I'm he's confused. Just her baby daddy. Okay,
very so confused, you know. Very confused with the Kardashian family. I'm not keeping up for sure.
Yeah, so Keely's gonna check to see if she could use Vendu in the UK. Can you please let us know, Keely? I think, yeah, I would love to know if it's compatible in your area. Yes,
yeah.
Okay, so
do you want to keep talking about the psychology of hype, or what do you want to do?
So those were my thoughts that I shared. I did want to say, so Evolving Productions, Evolving Always Productions said, if I say if it's not needed, why not? Yeah, I say that too, because as I was explaining, I don't think you're hyping up the price. I think what you're doing is keeping up with demand. So let's look at the stock market, for example. And, you know, Evolving Always Productions has experience there. If you have a stock, right, and you buy a stock like a Coca-Cola stock at $50, you wake up the next day and the stock market says it's $100. How many people go out and say, okay, I'm going to sell it at $50? Nobody does that. So in my opinion, like why, why would it be any different with a hype item or an item that's high in demand? And so here's another example. So this morning, I believe it was Dr. Seuss announced they were not going to they're stopping the production of 5 books that they have. Go on eBay, do a little Google search, find out those titles, go on eBay, and you're going to see sold comps for those books today are like $500 to $700, and they're probably only going to go up. So again, I think if we're smart resellers, we need to know the value of our items, and they can change from one day to another, and we need to be on top of that. Now, yep. If there is a buyer who's unhappy with that, you know, what I did with that buyer on eBay, I had a conversation with him, and it was like a long 20-minute conversation, but at the end we became friends and he really got it because I took the time to explain that, okay, we're using our sweat equity. We're using our funds to purchase and secure these hype items. In other words, we're standing in line for you while you are asleep, having a nice dream. And if you really want it and you want to pay that little premium for our time, money, and sweat equity, you can, but no one's forcing you. They're unnecessary items that, you know, we don't need. Now, if it was like, for me personally, if it was an item of necessity, I wouldn't be okay doing that. But that's my thought. Michelle, what do you think?
I agree. And there are times that, you know, I think I'm going to start the presentation I put together too, because it's very interesting about how they talk about the psychology behind it, because as sellers, we're part of the hype train, what they call. So you really kind of have to think logically and not really get sidetracked, because if you're running a business, you have to make some decisions and you have to invest money into it. It's important to not be on the hype train. And that's something we learn.
Yeah, and can I just go ahead and highlight the comment from Fernando? Hi, Fernando from 2434 Collectibles. Check him out. His Instagram page is fire. I love his
Fernando.
Page.
Yes.
He provides really great information. But he says, if original company can't or won't produce enough product to meet demand, they created, by the way, and opened the door for us as resellers or retailers, really is what we are. And then he says, I see it as they're bad. And then so that's where I wanted to, you know, really call it out for what it is. They know what they're doing, right? These are huge multi-million dollar companies. They're creating a buzz. They're using that as a marketing scheme. And, you know, as a reseller, like if you're listening to this as someone who's upset, you know, about resellers or retailers like us that, you know, buy directly from, you know, or even from third parties to provide these items, please know that, you know, we actually use our funds, our storage, like there's money involved on our end. So we're paying money to provide the service. So some people could get it. Like, I understand it's frustrating, but here's the thing. And I also mentioned this in the conversation with that eBay buyer, was that actually we all have the opportunity to purchase the items at the same time when they first come out. And we're not always lucky, right? So I went one time, I only tried once to see if they had a stock on PS5. At a store, and they did it. And I was like, I'm never going to do that again, because it wasted like an hour of my time. We all have that opportunity, which is a good thing. So anyway, that's just a quick thought there. And then Terry from Evolving Always Production says, would I have most of those books? I will have to check the comps, but then I would be so sad to let them go. Yeah, so that would be turned into a collector's item, Terry. You may want to hold on to those even longer. Keely said, that's an interesting thought, Fernando. And then she said, I have to go walk my dogs. Okay. Have a nice walk, Keely. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Duncan has a funny comment. Duncan said, you gals could create limited edition Flipping Gals hats and mugs. I am sure all listeners would want your merch.
That's very sweet. Yes. We definitely have to get some merch going. Michelle, the merch and design queen. And Michelle, so you have this wonderful slide here. Did you want to discuss?
Yeah, I find this interesting. I don't know if you guys are into psychology, but this is so interesting because I'm in marketing and branding. And these are some of the things that companies are doing to really get you hooked. So number one is really they leverage the urgency and exclusivity. You know, you're always like, especially Macy's, they always say, oh, we have a sale this weekend only, but it's like every weekend. But for some reason, it works, because in our mind, the thought of not having the opportunity to buy something becomes stressful. So even if the person never would have made the purchase to begin with, you know, it's still going to be in their head. Like they don't like FOMO, right? They don't want to miss out. Yep. The perceived loss is just too high sometimes. So companies like to use these things, these tactics to kind of create a buzz and create a hype. The other reason why people are into the hype is because they want what they can't have. this is really like, it's, I don't know why we always want what we can't have, but somehow it works.
The grass is always greener, right? On the other side. So
the grass is always greener. That's correct. So there is a psychology term called priming. So the hype primes customer. Basically, customers are always using this term to get the customer's hook. Priming is when the implicit memory of one stimulus influences the response of a later stimulus. So I'll give you an example. Well, one example is, let's say, a movie. I don't know, Marvel movie. They show a release like a year beforehand, right? And then after, let's say a year before, you saw the trailer and everyone's like excited, right? But then you kind of forget about it. And then when the movie is about to, you know, release, it's going to be like, there's going to be promotion again. That kind of, you know, you kind of have a memory of it. Like, oh my God, I remember wanting to watch this. So that is sort of the middle phase of how they are trying to get into your mind. So that's priming.
Thanks for explaining that, Michelle, because literally I've been waiting 1 year for The Handmaid's Tale to be released. And it's going to be released what? This month or next month?
Next month, yeah.
So they're priming me. I mean, I binge watch a series in like a day or two. And I'm like so obsessed with like the beautiful cinematography of the series. And then 1 year later, the second season comes out. Yeah. And even, but so this is all intentional because even sometimes it's already recorded and they still make you wait. So that anticipation, it's all calculated. Please know that. So with hype items, you'll get your hands on it eventually when it's no longer a hype.
That's right. And so there are two scenarios with the hype. One is you slowly forget about the game, which is not about the item. So kind of like what I said, you kind of forget about the movie. Or two, you become obsessed with it, which I think happens to everybody because sometimes I just start Googling the crap out of whatever I saw. I got obsessed. So there are no breaks on the hype train, basically. So the hype will keep going until it happens. So it's super interesting, right?
Yep. Very. Thanks for sharing that, Michelle.
So the primary purpose of hype train is of a hype culture is to prepare a large group of consumers for consumption. It's preparing audiences to buy as soon as the product hit the shelf. This is why as resellers, as consumers, we're always like, oh my God, when does it come out? Oh my God, when does it come out? That is really the hype culture that we're living in.
Yep. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
It is. Yeah. No, thank you for sharing the psychology of it. It is extremely interesting stuff. And you can potentially use it to promote your business. And I actually have a really good idea. So I'm just going to tell everybody right now. And Michelle, it's the first time I'm telling you. It's the first time I'm telling all of you. But what I wanted to do is we actually have a lot of inventory and we need to move it. We've been like building it throughout the years. And I was thinking of, we love garage sales. And we actually had a garage sale in person a year ago before I think it was when the pandemic first started. So exactly a year ago, I think in April. And it did really well. It helped us to move product. And so I'm thinking, Michelle, why don't we do a virtual garage sale? Let's hype that up.
Do you want to use that? Do you want to use those marketing tactics?
I do. Yeah.
And we're going to have a preview, and then we're going to create a hype.
We're going to create a hype, Instagram garage sale. Well, thank you guys all for listening and for hanging out with us. You're probably starving, some of you, and we don't want to hold you any longer, but we appreciate you joining us. We have tacos that we're going to get to and a couple
and
of
we comments. We have a meme too.
Okay, so really fast, let's go through a couple comments. The cherry picker said, OMG, the damn nacho fries. Don't know what the hype is with those, blah. Yeah, there's right, all these like hyped. The McDonald's were like such a hype. I remember those two in McDonald's, and they were just so-so. They weren't even that great, right? But that marketing really gets to you. Rich says, in a retail brick and mortar, the only real deal you get is at the end of the season when they mark it down 5 to 10% weekly. That's right. Thank you, Fernanda. Thank you, Terry. And thank you, Rich. Rich says, flipping gals, I have a McDonald's Chevy Suburban I purchased 20 years ago.
Oh my
is
God.
That true? What is that? And Michelle, do you want to share your meme?
Mm-hmm. You can do it.
All right. This is adorable. So there's three different sized doggies in the kitchen. You see the waist from the waist down, the owner's legs in the kitchen, and they're obviously waiting for dinner. And it says here, no matter what it is, we want it. And isn't that the truth with little doggies? So, and that's like the truth with the hype culture, right, Michelle?
Exactly.
No matter what it is, if I'm an avid Star Wars fan and there's any type of collab, I want it.
I have to say, though, I mean, I don't know about here, but I remember in Hong Kong, when you see a line at the store, people are gonna be lining up even though they don't know what it's for.
That's funny.
It's the same thing.
You're true. That's hilarious. Okay. So Rich said that was a diecast car. So it's a collectible. Yes, diecasts are huge. All right. Well, we're going to call it a night. We will be back on Thursday with some more interesting talk and conversation. And again, as always, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. I think I'm really hungry right now. We're gonna eat my tacos. Let me show you the dish I have right here. Thank you, Michelle, again for picking it up. And bon appetit to you guys. If you haven't had dinner yet, watch out for that virtual garage sale that we're going to be doing on Instagram. And have a lovely rest of your night. We hope to see you again next time.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Like, share, and direct message us during the week if you want to talk to us or even have questions about getting started on reselling yourselves.